With your permission, Lord Jesus, present in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Now we are approaching to the Holy Week, in which we will consider and we will follow very close all the events of the Passion and Death, and then the Resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And this is a good moment to think about some Christian virtues, and especially I was asked to talk about obedience. One nice virtue, I would say so nice as difficult to live in some moments of our life, even though and there are other periods in which we could think that obedience has no problems and is very easy to live and to follow. But then let's think the first passage of the Gospel at the prayer of our Lord in the garden. Next Sunday we will listen the Gospel of Matthew. We are in the cycle A. And then also in the Gospel of Mark the text is almost the same. Maybe the Gospel of Mark adds a small note about the filiation of Jesus when the Gospel says he took Peter, James and John in Gethsemane and then he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch." And he advanced a little and fell to the ground and prayed that it were possible the hour might pass by him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will." Pope Benedict, he loves especially this passage of the Gospel of Mark because he's talking about a good knower and a good scholar, especially of the first 5 centuries of Christianity, in which there were all the councils, the main councils, and the big problems about Christology. And one of them was about the will of Jesus, the human will, and the divine will. Because with the text of the Gospel, that would seem that Jesus had no human will, but on the contrary, he has it. And then Pope Benedict uses to say that the will of Jesus, his human will, was a will that identified with the will of the Father. And that's why he got the redemption in such a wonderful way. Only God could realize it and could accomplish as he did. Not my will, but your will. And that would be really the aim of our priestly life, in every moment of our life, to tell the Lord, "Lord, not what I want, but what you want." We said at the beginning that obedience is not an easy way when we try to live our Christian life, and especially our priestly life. Because, of course, you know that in the first letter of John, he talks about the enemies of our Christian life. That is, he called it the concupiscence of the flesh, the concupiscence of the eyes, and then the superb of life. And against that, I would say the religious life had been organized just to get those that are called in the history of the Church, especially for religious life, the evangelical councils, the poverty, the chastity, and the obedience. But then if we look at, we see that in the chastity, of course, we are offering some things that are difficult, but we have the grace of God to overcome it, the bad desires in our nature, and then to live according to them, to the will of God. And also with poverty, we can get also the grace of God to be detached of everything that is not good for us, and at the end is getting us apart from the very and the real Christian life. But obedience is a special virtue, because we are not offering some material things to the Lord, not even our body. It's the proper, I would say, the very eye of us, in which we are giving to the Lord, we are giving to Him, yeah, the things that is the most difficult for everyone. That is our own mind, our own will, our own desires. And then we put everything at the foot of the Lord and say, oh Lord, yeah, do with me whatever you want. That is very difficult. Especially because we know, yeah, maybe in 10, 5, 10, 15 years, every one of you will be working in different dioceses in the United States. And then maybe we are very happy in the place where we are working until the moment in which comes an invitation from the bishop, in which he says to us, oh, maybe it would be better if you go to that other place that for us seems not to be good. That's the moment to leave the obedience and to say to the Lord, Lord, not my will, but your will. Because if we follow the path of obedience, we are sure that we are living a real Christian and priestly life, that we are doing the will of God. Let's look again at the example of our Lord Jesus when he was in the garden. Of course, that was maybe the most terrible moment in his life, because he had the knowledge that probably he would die for the sake of our salvation. And life, human life, is the most nice, I would say, good that we have. From the human point of view, is the biggest good. No one like human life. That's why you need to pray for human life in the world that is so despised and not so loved. Unfortunately, in many countries, they have begun killing the babies. And now, of course, it's a real consequence and that follows that mentality. Also killing the old people, because they are not productive to the society. They don't produce money. And then they are seen, if you don't have the charity, and especially all that love for human life as a gift of God, you see them only as a charge, only as a weight to carry on or to bring. But it's not so. Pope Francis is always talking about the importance of all people in the families, how they give the experience, how they teach us the charity and the worrying and the concern for the others. And then they are giving us the example of a life that has been lived in the service of the others. So nice. And then we see how the Lord, our Lord Jesus, he saw his life. We could say the only thing that we had on this earth, and he offered it to the Father. If you want, Father, I will give it. Not my will, but your will. So that's why, and we read in the letter to the Philippians, the Christological hymn that we read every Saturday, also in the Vespers. The letter to the Philippians is a special letter that has been called the letter of the joy, because the Apostle, Paul the Apostle, was especially grateful with the community of Philippi, because they were very generous with the apostles, and they did not permit that Paul worked in another places just to dedicate himself only for the preaching of the gospel, and not to work just to maintain or to survive. So they sent him special help, helping, money helping, just to be to be the apostle in Corinth without worrying about the daily life. And at the same time, Paul saw that in the community of Philippi, people were very joined by the charity of Christ. And he wanted to foster that and to invite them to live it in a deeper way. And that's why he says, have among yourselves the same attitude that is also yours in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be great. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's the biggest, the maximum, the best example that we Christians may have. Paul is considering what happened in the Garden of the Olives and in Gethsemane, the moment in which the Lord was offering his life to the Father. And he did not hesitate, being in the form of God, that is in the very nature of God himself, he did not hesitate to give his life up for the sake of our salvation. So, let's ask the Lord to follow his example, that example of obedience, that was not only a special moment in his life at the end when he needed to leave the passion and death, no. That was a continuous example in the life of Jesus. I would like to finish because our time is almost over with the chapter 2 in the Gospel of Luke. That is the finishing of the Gospel infancy narratives after the episode of the boy Jesus that was lost in the temple. And after the claiming of his mother, what have you done with us? And his answer, at the end, the evangelist tells us, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. So that obedience of our Lord in the critical moment in which he needed to give everything to God, just offering his life, was prepared by a constant obedience of every day in his hidden life in Nazareth. And that's why the evangelist has and was obedient to them, not one moment, not one year, but all his hidden life in Nazareth, about 3 decades, that says the gospel. Luke says that Jesus was about 30 years when he was baptized by John. So that was an obedience prepared with every day's life. And we also need to do it so. So in every day, let's try to offer something in which we deny our will in some caprices or something that are not important in which we can say no. There is excuse me if I quote also the founder of Opus Dei, the prelature who I belong, where I belong, and there is an exhortation of Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, in which he says, you must say no to your will many times. You need to deny yourself in many moments in the day, but in small things. Only having a strong will, the will that we are forging every day, you will have no will to obey, and then to follow the will of the Lord. So let's ask the Lord and his mother Mary. We see that the life of our mother was just a following the will of God. Ecce ancilla Domine. Here the servant, here the handmaid of the Lord. be upon me according to your word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.